So we'll start in just a minute, just a technical point. If you have a Gemara, we're going to open up to Sanhedrin Daf Yud, Yud Omen Aleph. And then we're going to go on to this essay that I gave out. I photocopied it. It's two sides of a page. If you look on the top right, it should say Kuf Chav Vav on it. So if you have that, the other side should say Kuf Chav Zayin, then that's what we're going to be focusing our energies on.
You say Daf Yud?
Daf Yud Omen Aleph.
Yud is 10?
10.
Yeah,
10A.
10A. We're still on the 3 and 23.
Right.
So that's the whole bottom part of this whole thing, isn't it? The 3 and 23?
Right. Right. That's what we want to know. So the Mishnah records a machlokas with regard to Malkus. The accused, if found guilty, will get 39 lashes. And the question is, how many judges are necessary to sit on the court in order to condemn a criminal for Malkus? And the Gemara is going to analyze here for today the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that you need 23 judges for the case of Malkus. And the Gemara is a little bit perplexed about this, because the Mishnah says that you need 23 judges for a capital case when you condemn a criminal for death. But here we're talking about a crime that could no way implicate him on a capital crime. He clearly violated a lesser crime, and the maximum penalty would be Malkus. So why does it fit under Chayve Misa? So that's called my time with Rabbi Shmuel, which you'll see here about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. And we have here two opinions. We have Abaye's opinion and we have Rava's opinion, both trying to explain why Rabbi Shmuel needs 23 judges. According to Abaye, Rabbi Shmuel is based on a Gzeira Shava. And that means that in two places in the Torah uses the word Rasha. And that's called Asya Rasha Rasha Michaive Misos Ksiv Hocha. Here in the parish of Malkus, it says Vayin Ben Hakos a Rasha. We're talking about Malkus, and he's called a Rasha. Uksiv Hasam, in the parish of Misa, it says Asher Hu Rasha Lamus. And in the case of Chayve Misos Bezdin, the Torah calls the criminal a Rasha. So we're going to use that word Rasha. And we're going to derive the conclusion that in the case of Achive Malkus, he's also called a Rasha, and the same requirement of blessing of judges on a Beis Din is going to apply in both cases. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel requires 23 judges in the case of Malkus. But Rav has a different explanation. And Rav says, Malkus bimkom misa omedes. That, forget about the Gzeira Shava, we don't need the Gzeira Shava. In fact, it's possible that Rabbi Shmuel never had the Gzeira Shava. But one thing he did have is a Svara. And the logic is that Malkos is a substitute for Misa. And that's the way Rashi learns this sugi. You'll see Rashi on the third of the wide lines on the bottom. He really deserves to die for this violation. However, the Torah was compassionate and allowed him to suffer Malkus as a replacement, so to speak, for Misa. And therefore, we treat Malkus as a Chiv Misa, because really, Mikra Adin is Chayv Misa. Said Malkus is like one of the various misos. Now, once you classify Malkus as a misa, then the principle of Chaf Gimel of 23 judges kicks in. But Tosis, Dibra Maskil Malkus, offers an entirely different interpretation of Rava's explanation of Rabbi Shmuel Malkus Tachas Misa Omedes. And you'll see this about five lines down in the Tosis, Dibra Maskil Malkus. He says, Mishum de Zimnin Mesim Al Yidei Malkus. So you might want to underline that line, because that's going to preoccupy, that's going to occupy our minds for the balance of this year. That Tosis' interpretation of why Rabbi Yishmael, according to Rava, requires 23 judges, because sometimes a person might die as a result of Malkus. But Tosis doesn't stop there. He quotes a Mishnah in Masechta Makis, in the second parak, that's called Elu Hein Agolin. And the Mishnah says, Umes ze tachas yodo, that this individual who was Chayev Malkus died under the hands of the Shliach Bezdin. The Shliach Bezdin was meant to mete out Malkus, but as a result of the Malkus, the victim actually died. And the Mishnah wants to address the following question. Obviously, the Shliach Bezdin had no intention to kill the person. So in that sense, unintentional murder is called what? Shogeg. But what's the punishment for a shogeg? It's got to go to Ir Miklat. Ir Miklat, we'll read about it this week's parasha. What about the Shliach Bezdin, who represents Bezdin? He's meeting out Malkus, and his victim, so to speak, dies. Should we assume that the Shliach Bezdin has to go to the Ir Miklat? This might be a case of shogeg. Now, nobody wants to go to the Ir Miklat. That's not comfortable. And the Mishnah says, Potter. And we'll soon see how the Gemara derives, based on this Mishnah, the halacha, that a Shliach Bezdin is Potter from Golts, from going into the Ir Miklat. Now, what do you see from this Mishnah? We were talking about a person who's Chayav what? Malkus. He wasn't Chayav Misa, and yet he died. So what clearly do you see about Malkus? That it might lead to Misa. It might end up with the criminal dying when he was not meant to be put to death. It could happen. Hopefully it's not too frequent. What?
They miscalculated.
Maybe they miscalculated, maybe he hit him too hard, maybe a million and one possibilities, but there's a danger in giving someone Malkus that he might perish.
Wasn't it the medical evaluation prior to the Malkus, though?
Correct, and even despite the medical evaluation, nevertheless he died.
He died, yeah.
Because that's the case the mission is addressing. They were, you know, they went through the entire procedure the way it always is in the uniform way, and nevertheless there was gestorben, he died. And the question now is whether or not the Shliach Bezdin goes into Golus. And the answer is he's part. He doesn't have to go into Golus.
Never get a Shliach Bezdin to act as a Shliach.
Yeah, it's not a very exciting... maybe they hired him, maybe they paid him a very high salary. I don't know, because it doesn't seem like a good job for a good Jewish boy, because you might end up packing your bags and leaving your local... fail, you know, your local location in order to end up in the Ir Miklat. But one thing we see clearly, I'm not sure what the percentage is, you know, what the statistics are. Like, for example, you talk about Nebuch, a woman who dies at childbirth. So back in the day, the percentage was pretty serious. I don't know if it was 10%, I don't know what the numbers were. Today it's rare, but it happens even today with all the advances in medical technique. And you could go on and give many, many examples of that. But Tosis wants to illustrate that the implementation of a Chiyuv Malkus is always fraught, it's always joined up with a possibility of his dying. And if that be the case, then Rabbi Shmuel wants to have how many judges on the bench? 23 judges.
Is it the capital?
Now, how does the Gemara know that in event that the Shliach Bezdin killed the Mechuyev Malkus, then he doesn't go into Gol, says Potter. After all, again, he unintentionally killed him. So the Gemara derives it from the parasha of what's called Chativas Eitzim. And the Gemara in Makkos analyzes that the Torah actually went out of its way to give us the scenario of unintentional murder. And it spoke about two people who went out to the forest to cut trees, and one cut the tree and killed someone else. Exactly how he killed them, that's the subject of a different Mishnah. You know, maybe the axe fell out of his hand, maybe the metal part on top of the axe fell out and killed the guy. Whatever happened, happened.
The tree fell on him.
So the Gemara says that the reason why the Torah gave us this scenario is because this becomes the paradigm of Chiyuv Galus. Ma chativas etzim dirishus, akol dirishus. Which means that you had no obligation, you were not fulfilling any mitzvah in cutting down trees. You know, for whatever reason, maybe it's your business, maybe you have to feed the campfire, but the Torah didn't mandate you to go out and cut trees. So that in order to illustrate that, we're talking about something where the person who killed his friend was not involved in a mitzvah, he was just involved in a rishus, the Torah couches it in terms of chativas etzim, that they went out to cut trees in the forest. But if Reuven kills Shimon unintentionally, but Reuven was involved in a mitzvah, then Reuven doesn't go into galus. That's what we're going to see as we go along. It's not dumyo, it's not similar to chativas etzim. But in any event, we're going to study two kashas now of the Gvuras Yitzchak. And both of these questions are directed at Tosfos. So he says the following. Sarach Bir, this is about the second of the printed lines. The Afagav de Zimnin Mes al Yidei Malkus, alo Chiv Malkus velo Misa. The Keva de Chiyuve Rak Malkus, hapsak din lo havi. Ki im al achiv malchus velo al amis of amayni boich of gimel. I'm going to try to do the best I can to convince you that the Gvuras Yitzchak has a very strong question, and the reason why I have to extend myself with a lot of energy is because when you first hear this kasha, you're going to say it's not a kasha at all. But when you think about it on a more profound level, you'll appreciate the kasha. He's asking the following. You want to know how many judges make up the court. So what's your answer? Well, maybe the guy will die. What does that have to do with the ruling of the Beis Din? If the ruling of the Beis Din was a dinei nefashos case, meaning a condemnation to be killed, for example, if let's say they were accusing him of one of the major cardinal sins, and it's a capital crime, then I understand why you need a Beis Din of 23. Mm-hmm. But are we going to say that any decision, any area of jurisdiction, whether we define it as three judges or under 23 judges, depends upon the possibility that he might die? So again, I'm going to have to work overtime to convince you this is a kasha, because you're going to tell me, well, he might die. And if he might die, we need 23 judges. Now I'll explain to you the kasha. The fact that he might die, this accused criminal, as a result of Malkus, that's not enough to change the nature of the Beis Din. What changes and determines the makeup of the court is the Psak Din. Not the repercussions of implementing the Psak Din. That's a whole different story. That has nothing to do with Beis Din. That's the headache of the Shliach Beis Din, and he has to be very careful and make sure that he doesn't cause anyone's death and so forth and so on. But if you're trying to classify this case and what is the area of jurisdiction, what kind of court do you need to decide in this case, then the answer is, you have to decide, is this a dini nefashos case or it's not a dini nefashos case? Mm-hmm. Well, are we saying that Beis Din is going to paskin that he's chayav misa? He's not chayav misa. He didn't commit a cardinal sin. He committed a lowercase sin. Let's say he was a nazir and he drank wine. I don't know. He wore shatnez or any other, he violated yontif. So we're not talking about a capital crime. The Psak Beis Din is going to be a Psak Beis Din that does not include a Chiyuv Misa. The fact that you have to worry, maybe lest, heaven forbid, after as a result of the Malkus, he'll die, that's not going to impact on the definition of the of the chiyuv, the chiyuv that's being imposed by the bezdin, if they rule in that against the accused, is a chiyuv malchus. It's not a chiyuv misa. And the Gemara is convinced that when you gather together a court for judging a chiyuv malchus, it should be three judges, and that should be enough. Comes Rabbi Yishmael, the way Rabbi interprets, he says, "No, I need 23 judges because maybe he'll die. You know, in 1 out of 100 cases, he dies from the malchus. Maybe it's even 2 out of them, 3 out of them. I don't know what the percentage might be, but that's irrelevant. What's relevant to us is what exactly is the jurisdiction of Beis Din." What is the scope of their authority, and when do we need a Beis Din for a Beis Din made up of 23 judges, and when is enough to have a Beis Din made up of 3 judges? So let's read the Kash again. The Afal Gav, even though I grant you the Zimnin Meis Al Yidei Amalkus, there is always a statistical possibility that he, as a result of the Malkus, may die. Halo chiyuvo, that's the word you should emphasize. His chiyuv, which is going to be the ruling of Beis Din, is that he's chayav Malkus. That's his chiyuv. Velo misa. Beis Din is not going to paskin here to condemn the person to death. The kema de chiyuve rak Malkus, vapsak din lo havi kiyim al chiyuv Malkus. The law chiyuv misa is a mighty boy chav gimel. Why should we change the nature of the court? Again, we should talk to the executioner. You know that he should be very super careful not to, heaven forbid, cause the death of this criminal. This criminal doesn't deserve to die. That's a nice parasha, and we could talk about the morality and ethics of giving malchus when you might kill the person. But as far as the jurisdiction of Beis Din, if you want to define the nature of the case, certainly you have no right to say that the Beis Din paskins that he's chayav misa simply because of the statistical possibility of a fluke situation where we made a mistake and he died. The chiyuv that Beis Din is paskini is what, Rabosai? Malkus, not a chiyuv misa. So why do you change the nature of the Beis Din and upgrade the amount of judges that you need to make up this court simply because of the fact that he might die? Alright, we'll have to take every precaution that we possibly can to guarantee safe passage that he won't die as a result of the Malkus. But if you ask me what determines the nature of the Beis Din, whether it's a Beis Din of Shlosha or a Beis Din of Chav Gimel, the answer is, what's the Psak Din? Is there a Psak Din of Misa, or is a Psak Din that's not Chiv Misa, it's only a Chiv Malkus? And a Chiv Malkus does not require a Beis Din of Chav Gimel. That's Kasha number one.
Is it the Psak Din?
Did I succeed in convincing you that it's a Gavaldic Akash?
Yes.
Well, no, that's Rashi Shita. No, Rashi Shita is that really is Chayav Misa. Yeah. But I'm going to Tosfos. Tosfos rejects this idea that he's Chayav Misa. Tosfos says that he's Chayav Malkus. But Tosfos says that there's a certain statistical danger factor that he might die as a result of Malkus. I wouldn't give him a good deal if I was an insurance broker here, because he might die. Right? His life insurance policy is going to go up. So the Gvuris Yitzchak said, okay, that's true. I'm not going to deny the Metzius that, in fact, he, Chas v'Shalom, heaven forbid, if they're not careful about it, he might die in the hands of the Malka. But if you ask me what the nature of the Chiyuv is, the Chiyuv is not a Chiyuv Misa that they're paskining, they're paskining a Chiyuv Malkus. And a Chiyuv Malkus doesn't require a Beis Din Chof Gimel. 3 is enough. And Mitch is right that according to Rashi, this kasha doesn't even get off the ground. Rashi, on the contrary, Rashi went out of his way to tell you that he is chayav misa. And that's the psak. What is the chayav misa? Well, there are 4 options. Now we're adding a 5th option, and that's Malkus. But Tosfos never accepted that. Tosfos is saying, Mishum de Zimnin Meis Al Yidei Malkus. Well, Zimnin Meis Al Yidei Malkus, that's a very tragic situation. We certainly have to take all the precautions of the world to avoid such a possibility. But the psak itself is a psak of Malkus. It's not a psak of Misa. That's question number one.
Well, you know, but the wicked deserve to die was a statement made along the way, in which case
that's Rashi's approach.
But you know, then why have 3 at all? I mean, basically you could say almost people could die for almost any reason, in which case there should be 23 for everything, which is not what they want to do.
So
they're laying out a guideline to say, here's where it is. So, you know, nice
is
job.
Is it the Psak Din that's Kobe, or is it the Avira that's Kobe?
Either way, there's no misa. There's no misa in the avera. There's no misa in the psak din. So your admixture of misa is totally foreign. You know, cut yourself off. And Bezin is completely cut off from a chiyuv misa. They're not interested in a chiyuv misa. Right. They don't have the right or the interest in.
It's not their intent.
Correct. A man ate chazetray. Okay, I'm not giving him shishim for that. You know, if he did it deliberately in front of two witnesses with asra, but nevertheless, he's not chiyuv misa for that.
Right.
No, if you need a chav gimel bezdin for a chiv misa, but they're not paskining a chiv misa. Mm-hmm. Now he has another kasha. Now the second kasha is a little bit more technical. It's not such a, you know, it's not such a whopper of a kasha. But you know, sometimes if you build up evidence for a chidush, you know, for a new innovative pshat, then the more questions that you can answer, the better. So what's the second question? Tosus is not convinced that the man is going to die as a result of the malchus.
Mm-hmm.
What did Tosfos invoke in order to establish that that he'll die, or he might die, I should say, as a result of the malchus? Do you remember the Tosfos inside? Take a look inside. Just refresh your memory. Mm-hmm. I'll read it to you. He says, "V'od yeshlam mishum dezimnin meis al yedei meisim al yedei malchus," and then he says, "Kidisnan." What does kinisnan mean? I can prove it to you. You know, you want to duel with me on this? You want to discuss this with me and argue against me? Yeah, no. There's no way, no how he can die. We had a medical examiner come. How could he possibly die? Well, I'll prove it to you. Why? Because I have a Mishnah in the second parak of Makis that says umeis ze tachas yodo. And after the Malkus, the man died, and then we have to know whether the Malke, you know, the Shliach Bezdin who implemented the Malkus, whether he has to go into Golus or not. But you see clearly that he died. So Malkus might lead up, unfortunately, to death. So the Gemara Yitzchak is very upset about this. He says, why does Tosafot have to prove from a Mishnah in Malkus that as a result of the Malkus, he might die? Forget about the Mishnah. That's simply the way reality is. You know, it's like if I Google it, you know, so to speak, I'm just using Google will tell me that in such and such a percentage of cases, after 39 lashes, people will die. So, in fact, he says the Yerushalmi quotes the same Svaras Tosfos and leaves out the Mishnah of Elu Ein Agolin Umes Tachas Yado Potur. That's completely omitted. Hmm. So let's read it inside. He says, "V'od yeshlomra otzar bira my hutzachu lahavi." I would add the word raya lahavi mehai disnan umeis tachas yado potur v'lo kasvu bipshitus. They could have said it straightforward without a mishnah in Makis. You know, I'm not, I don't have to be a bucky in mishnayis Makis. Zimnin mes. Sometimes a person will die. L'kach be'inan chav gimel. Was there something that Tosus saw in the mishnah in Makis which led him, you know, which strengthened his position to raise, explain this svara of misa b'makom, of malchus makom misa, and it's meaning that malchus would or might lead to misa. What did he see in the Mishnah that brought him to that conclusion? You know, that I have to prove to you that he might die as a result of Malkus. And if I wanted to convince you, because you're a skeptic, I'm going to quote to you a Mishnah in Malkus. The Mishnah says, "Umeis tachas yodo," which means that he died as a result of the Malkus. The Shliach Bezdin maybe hit him too hard, or he had a heart attack in the middle. I don't know what happened. And he doesn't have to go into Golus. But you see that the man died as a result of Malkus. So the Gemara Yitzchak says, okay, you're asking me if a person might die as a result of 39 lashes. So the answer is a clear cut yes, there is that possibility. But do I have to quote a Mishnah? What did he see? What did Tosfos see in this Mishnah that led him to this ke'ilu, unique, revolutionary position that a man might die as a result of Malkus? Clearly a man could die as a result of Malkus. This is recorded in the annals of history. Do you want to use this?
Oh, no, fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So we are now up to paragraph Dibra Maskel Vehine. The Gemara derives that a Shliach Bezdin who was responsible for the death of this sinner is potter from Malkus. Abishol Omer, how do we know, asks Abishol that he's potter from Malkus, Machativas Rishus, just like the case of the two people who were out there cutting down the trees in the forest, that's a Rishus, Afkol Rishus, Yotza Ha'ava Malkus Pinno, Harava Rodas Talmidu Shliach Bezdin. So there are three cases here where a person was physically involved in hitting a person, and yet he was doing a mitzvah, and that's the case of a father vis-a-vis his son. So you know the children have to worry about their father. Yes, hopefully we won't be guilty of this kind of thing, but there is a possibility. And then you have the case of a Rebbe. You have to be afraid of your Rebbe, because you know the Rebbe might just give you a smack. I have two sons of mine who got smacked by their Rebbe. In today's world, they would lock them up in jail for that. You know, it's child abuse. And the third case is Shliach Bezdin. So Rashi. Now keep in mind, this Mishnah of this halach of Chativas Eitzim to exclude those three cases from Golus appears twice in Masechta Makkos, at the beginning of the Masechta and at the end of the Masechta on Daf Chav Beis. We don't have Rashi at the end of Masechta. We only have Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta. Apparently Rashi died before he was able to complete his work on Makkos. So what we have is one of the members of the family of Rashi called the Rivan. And on Daf Ches, which Rashi is still recording his comments, Rashi says, Shliach Bezdin Hamalke Arboim. So clearly the phrase Shliach Bezdin here in the Mishnah, according to Rashi, is referring to the Shliach who's meeting out the Malkus to the condemned criminal. Umilshono Mashma Shemes Ali Dea Malkus, that's for sure. Now, this halacha of the exceptions to the rule of Shogeg Gola appears later on in Masechta Makkos, and it says there, Meis Tachas Yodo Patur. And the Rivan, who, as I told you before, took over for Rashi after Rashi died, writes, Dishliach Bezruv Amorin Li El Davches Yotza Av Amakas Pno Shliach Bezdin. So it means that the Rivan is repeating what we saw in Rashi, that the Shliach Bezdin, who's exempt from Golus, is because he was involved in a mitzvah. And it's not Dumyo de Chativas Eitzin. And all this is a discussion addressing the Shliach Bezdin who's meeting out Malkus. So again, Rabosa, we're about to embark upon a second Shita, the Rambam Shita, but let's calculate that both Rashi on Daf Ches, as well as the Rivan on Daf Chav Beis, they interpret this Sugya in a whole different light than the Rambam, and that is that the Bezdin issued a verdict that this person has to get 39 lashes. Now the Shliach Bezdin, as a representative of Bezdin, is fulfilling his obligation to meet out the Malkus, and lo and behold, the person died, the sinner died. That's Rashi and the Rivan. Rashi says it on Daf Ches, the Rivan says it on Daf Chof Beis. Ulam, however, Harambam in Perkei Milchus Rotzeach, Kosa v'chein harav ha-makes talmido, o shliach bezdin shehika es baldino hanimna milovo ledin ve'emiso. Bishogin. So what's the case of the Rambam, Mashliach Bezdin? He's not meeting out 39 Malkus, but what? Excellent. The man was subpoenaed to show up in court, and he defies in contempt of court. He says, I'm not showing up. So Bezdin is going to send the Shliach, a big shlo. And the Shliach is going to beat him up until he decides, you know, I think it's a better idea that I show up in Bezdin. Make you an offer you can't refuse.
He has his ways of convincing him.
Right. It's a very physical, brutal way of convincing him. But as the Shliach Bezdin is beating up this guy who refuses to show up in court, the man dies.
Oh. Wow.
And there's a p'tur of Golus, says the Rambam, because of the pasuk Lachtov Eitzin, which means Lidvar Rishus. And this Shliach Bezdin, insofar as he is representing the Bezdin, is implementing a mitzvah. Sharei shagagu v'hargu b'shas asiyas ha-mitzvah. Good. So we have now both the Rashi Rivan and the Rambam that we're talking about a Shliach Bezdin who is involved in a mitzvah. Again, what mitzvah? What's the scenario? According to Rashi the Rivan, he's giving out malchus. According to the Rambam, he's not giving out malchus, he's just trying to force the litigant to show up in Bezdin. Now the Raif. The Raif makes the following comment on the Rambam. Omar Avraham, Zulo Shamanu Miolo. The Raif is very dramatic. We never heard of such a thing. That the Shliach Bezdin is the one who is forcing the Nidon to show up in court. Ella, Shliach Bezdin, Shaloka Yoser Mimasha Amdu Bezdin, Umes Tachas Yodo, Al Zehu De Amrinon, Potter Migolus. So the Ravid says the following, that the case of the Gemara in two places that we saw is a case of a Shliach Bezdin who's meeting out Malkus, and the person, the Nilke, the Muke, I guess you'd call it, dies, and it's not Dumya Dechativas Eitz. Because he was mitzuvah.
He went overboard.
Possibly. I mean, the Rambam's description is that, Laka Yoter Mimacham Du Beitin. He went beyond the number that was given by the experts of Bezdin, who evaluated how much he can take. So he went beyond that. So now what we want to study is Reb Chaim. Now Reb Chaim, you know, a lot of Reb Chaim's Torah is oral. Reb Chaim only wrote one Sefer, and even that he didn't publish in his lifetime. But we have what's called Reb Chaim Mipi Hashmua, which means that the Talmidim of Reb Chaim who wrote notes, they transmitted the Torah of Reb Chaim. So B'Kisvei Maron HaGrach Al Masecht HaMakis, which again, it sounds like, you know, we're reading the writings of Reb Chaim. That's not what he means. Kisvei Maron means of the Talmidim of Reb Chaim and the way they transcribe Reb Chaim's Torah. Lama lo pirish haramam v'arayvid kirashi v'harivan. Dizavi dvar mitzvah mamish. So let me try to explain Reb Chaim's kasha. We derive from Chativas Eitzim that in the case of a Dvar Mitzvah, you're not Chayiv Golos. Mm-hmm. Now we have two possible scenarios in the case of Shliach Bezdin. We have Rashi and the Rivan who say that he was hitting him 39 times. And then we have the Rambam who comes up with a whole different case where they sent the Shliach Bezdin to force the litigant to show up in court. And he was allowed to hit him, and he killed him. So the question here is, says Reb Chaim, I don't understand why the Rambam couldn't have been happy with the pshat of Rashi and the Rivan. Namely, we're talking about a classic case of a Shliach Bezdin who, in the course of meeting out 39 malchus, killed the accused, killed the criminal. Who wasn't meant to die. What is the Rambam introducing here? A whole new element into the equation that we're talking about a Shliach Bezdin who's trying to get a person to show up in court. The man has been subpoenaed and he pays no attention. He refused to come to the court. So we beat him up and then we accidentally the Shliach Bezdin killed him. Now, keep in mind that even the Ravid is a little bit of a question here, because the Ravid says that Amdu Bezdin, they did evaluate how many malchus he should get, and he added another malka. He gave more than the 39 he was meant to do, or whatever the number might be, multiples of three. So that's the Ravid's pshat. But it sounds like both the Rambam and the Ravid were deliberately avoiding Rashi and the Rivan's pshat, namely that we're talking about a shliach bezdin who's involved in the mitzvah of meeting out punishment, right? And the man died. Isn't that the classic case of a mitzvah which is incumbent upon the shliach bezdin? That's eino dumi. It's not similar to chatifas reshus. What forced the Rambam to come up with the case where he was the dead person was killed because he had refused to what? To show up in court, and the shliach bezdin, in trying to bring him to show up, unintentionally killed him. Why do you have to stretch your arm out to such a strange case, which is barely a mitzvah? I mean, again, it's a mitzvah in some sense because he's an extended arm of the bezdin. But Rashi and the Rivan seem to have gotten it right. You know, we're talking about a real mitzvah, which is incumbent upon the shliach bezdin to meet out 39 malchus. So why is the Rambam and the Ravid like hesitate? Why do they hesitate? They're inhibited, and instead they come up with a whole new pshat. The Rambam's pshat is that he hit him in order to bring him into the court, and the Ravid's pshat is that he added an extra maka above and beyond the Abdu Bezdin. Why not just simply say that he gave him the 39 malkas that he was supposed to get, but the man died? And that's not dumi the chativas eitzim, because the shliach bezdin is clearly obligated to meet out these malkas, and he didn't go beyond the 39 or whatever the number that they gave him. So Reb Chaim says the following: that the Rivan and Rashi were bothered by another kash, and that's why they reinterpreted the sugya. We have a principle of tzorich omed. You might want to underline those two words. They're three lines up before the end of the right column. Tzorich omed. And again, that page is yours, so don't feel in any way inhibited about underlining words. Now, what is this halach of tzorich omed? Now we're talking about a murder case. And every murder case has a murder weapon, which is called in the language of the Bible, Evan o Egrof. Now, when Reuven hits Shimon with an Evan or an Egrof, we have to automatically ask the following question: was it Kidei Lahamis or it wasn't Kidei Lahamis? What does that mean, Kidei Lahamis?
It was a weapon that has the capability.
Excellent. Beautiful. That we look at this weapon, he didn't hit him with a feather or a piece of, I don't know, plastic, so pliable plastic, but he hit him with a serious weapon. You know, a stone that has, it has weight to it, or whatever the method, the gory, I don't want to go into gory details, but he killed him. Or Egrof, he hit him, and the man died.
Professional boxer.
Yeah, he's a professional boxer, but we have to make an umdana, that's called Tzorich Omed, to be absolutely convinced that he died as a result of that weapon or that box. What else is a possibility, Rabosai? Why might we be unconvinced, if there's such a word, right? Why might be hesitant to accept that he killed him if we didn't analyze, what's it called, item number one, the murder weapon? No, but I meant to say something else. Reuven kills Shimon, and now you're asking, did he did he deal Shimon a blow that would kill Shimon, or did he use this stone that would, you know, to kill him? Or right? What's the other possibility that we have to exclude by doing this umdana?
That the victim was had a medical issue.
Exactly. Perfect. Maybe the victim died from a heart attack. Now again, you might ask, well, why do you have a heart attack at that moment? The answer probably is because they were, you know, somebody was hitting him with a very dangerous weapon. But if the weapon per se or the maka was not strong enough, powerful enough to kill him, now we have an admixture of sort of a cause and effect kind of thing, in which the murderer put the victim into such a situation that the victim died. But it's not that the murderer killed him. The murderer, if all things were equal, did not deal him a death blow. And the victim shouldn't have died. So maybe there are other factors that come in, like you say, his medical history, and that's why he died. So what we have to do is, because the Torah went out of its way to say, O be'evin, O be'egrof, he ko, means that he died as a result of this egrof, and only as a result of the egrof, or as a result of the evin, and only a result of the evin. So we have to do that that tzarech omed. Now, if the murder weapon was ein bo kidei lahamis, it didn't have the capacity of killing him, the irash emes, and it turns out that he died, pato arotzea. So again, you might have situations in which even though you deal someone a blow that doesn't have the potential to kill him, but as a result of that blow, he died. And the Torah went out of its way to say that in such a case, the murderer is not going to be, he's exonerated because he didn't have what's called a yesh bo kidei lahamis. Now, Rabosai, let's ask the following question. If we did this umdana and we determined that the Evan or Egrof was Ein Bo Kidei Lahamis, in a case of Mazid, certainly he's not going to be put to death. What about in the case of Shogeg? Is he Chai of Golos? So again, you have to know the answer. If you know, there's no guesswork here. The Gemara establishes that in such a case he's not Chayav Golos. Why? Because we need what's called a Maaser Ritzicha, both in the case of Mazid in order to put the murderer to death, and in the case of Shogeg to send him to exile in Golos. We need what's called a Maaser Ritzicha. The Halacha says, how and when do we define the Maaser Ritzicha? Do we classify his action as a Maaser Ritzicha? Not because the guy died. That's not enough to establish a Maaser Ritzicha. We need to be Omeid with an olive, right, to be omed, that it was yesh bo kidei lahamis, that it was definitely clear that he, the murderer, directly killed the victim, and that the weapon was kidei lahamis, and the egrof was kidei lahamis. Then, and only then, can we, number one, put him to death in the case of Mazid, and B, do we obligate him to require him to go to Eir Miklat if he was a shogeg? Because both of these halachas depend upon a ma'aser ritzicha. And if we made an umdara of, and we concluded ein bo kidei lahamis, then it's not called a ma'aser ritzicha. If it's not called a ma'aser ritzicha, then he's not going to be punished at all. Even under the law of shogeg, meaning that he has to go to the Eir Miklat. Ah. Now, we really have a problem with our issue of a shliach bezdin. The shliach bezdin, right? The shliach bezdin is potter from golos if he kills his victim. Mm-hmm. Why is he potter from golos?
He's carrying out the mitzvah.
Because he's carrying out the mitzvah, and it's not dum you do what? The chativa seitzim. So Reb Chaim says, what do you mean? I'll tell you why he's not chayav golos. Because there was no ma'aser ritzicha. Right. Why was there no ma'aser ritzicha?
Because the weapon was not.
The weapon here is his hand, right? Well, he's holding a strap, but whatever it is. Because what do we do before we give the shliach bezdin the green light to him? We did an umdana, and we have to decide whether or not this person is going to die, and we're only going to give that number of malchus, which guarantee that he's not going to die. Again, we could always make a mistake, but the professional medical team has to go through this process. So as a result of the process, by definition, says Reb Chaim, we have what's called an egrov she'embo kedei lahamis. Because that's exactly the whole thrust of the umdana. No, if it's an egrov she'embo kedei lahamis, we don't have what? A ma'aser ritzicha. If there's no ma'aser ritzicha, what was the havamini they should go into goals? No, the Gemara says, you know what? He doesn't go into goals because of the mitzvah. He was involved in a mitzvah and it's not dumya. Says Reb Chaim, drop it on the mitzvah. Forget about the mitzvah. You know why he doesn't go into Golus? Because there was no Ma'aser Ritzicha. So why does Abba Shaul need to exempt this Shliach Bezdin from Golus based on the equation to Chativas Eitzim? He doesn't go into Golus for a much more fundamental reason. There's no Ma'aser Ritzicha because we did it in Umdana.
With one exception, the Yosef.
Yeah.
Oh, now we begin to understand the Ravid, that the Ravid introduces Yosef. Mm-hmm. The Ravid wanted to know what's going on if he only hit him 39 times. So why do you need Dumya de Chativas Eitzim since he's involved in a mitzvah, therefore he doesn't go into Golus? There was no Ma'aser Ritzicha at all because we made it Umdana. And the Egrof of 39 didn't have the potential to kill him. Says the Ravid, we must be talking about number 40, not number 39. Or the Rambam says we must be talking about a Shliach Beis Din, not who's giving Malchus, because that's a Kain Bo Kedei Lahamis. But we're talking about a Shliach Beis Din who is beating up this guy because he refused to show up in court and he hit him too hard. And we can now do an Umdana, we can determine that he hit him so hard that the guy died. And that's called Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis. Ah, you know why he's exempt from Golus? Because he was involved in a mitzvah. But if we go with Rashi and the Rivan, then we're talking within the framework of the 39 Malkas, or whether it's 13 Malkas, whether it's 26 Malkas, 39 Malkas, whatever, divisible number of three, that the Bezdin gave him the green light to hit him, then we're in trouble. Why does Gemara need, why does Abba Shaul need to pattern him up because he was involved in a mitzvah? Forget about the fact that he was involved in a mitzvah. So it wasn't a mitzvah. The fact that we made an umdana, we determined whether it's Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis or low, and we determined that the 39 or whatever the number is Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. There's no Ma'aser Ritzicha. Maybe the guy dropped dead because he had a heart attack. But you certainly can't send him into Golus. There's no Ma'aser Ritzicha. And basically what Reb Chaim has done now is an unbelievable revolution. We had no clue why the Rambam and the Ravid had to do somersaults in the air and tell us that this is not the Shliach Bezdin who's meeting out 39 Malkas. It's a case where he's beating him up to get him into court. It's a case where he gave him 40 Malkas. And we thought that, gee, the Rambam and the Ravid make no sense over here. Now we're going the other way around. Just the opposite. We don't understand the Rashi and the Rivan. Because Rashi and Rivan are talking about the 39 Malkas. Well, within the framework of 39 Malkas, it's Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis. And that's why he's part of a goal. It's no Ma'aser Ritzicha. Forget about Dumya, whether it's Dumya D'ir Miklat or not. And that's what he ends here on the left column. If you take a look at the last two lines, he says, V'tikshe al Rivan. Lovely the time of that cost mitzvah. Why does he exclude Golus here? Because he was doing a mitzvah typically. She'ein bo kedei lahamis, i.e., there's no ma'aser ritzicha. And the next paragraph, which starts with tirei hagrach, he tries to understand what the Rivan holds. And I'll just give it to you in a nutshell. And then maybe if we have a minute, we'll read it inside, or you'll read it on your own. He says the following: that when we do an umdana, what we're saying is that based on all the facts and figures, whether it's the normal hakah, given all the factors, whether it's the health situation of the mukeh, we come to the conclusion that he can tolerate 39 malchus. So whatever the number is, when I say 39, it could be 13, it could be 26, he can tolerate 39 malchus. But it doesn't mean that when he ultimately died, Nebuch, that he died because he had a heart attack. He died because of the Malkus. It was Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis. The Umdana is going to determine under all the circumstances and the information that we have when we feed it into the computer. The computer is going to spit out the following answer. Go for it. Give him the 39 Malkus. Because everything checks out, and given all the factors and the variables, we believe he's going to survive. But lo and behold, he died. Why did he die? He died because of the Makkah. Let's see it inside. V'tiretz maran agrachs al desfir le rivan de omed lemalchus lo avi she'ein bo kedei lamis klal. It's not like the case where you hit him with a feather and he's not going to die, you know. That if all things are equal, we don't anticipate he's going to die from this hakoma. It could be possible that he will die as a result of the hakoma, and that's let's say it's a 10% chance or 1% chance, whatever it is. We're not denying that he might die. The ofen rachok, as improbable as it is. This would be a hakosh yeshbo kidei lahamis. So in this kind of umdana, if it was a murder case, we would put the murderer to death because it's yeshbo kidei lahamis. Again, when we shot stuff and we evaluate how many malchus, we assume that it's not probable and not likely at all that he'll die. But if in fact he died, we can attribute the death of this victim to the hakosh. And therefore we should say that he's chayav golos. Why is he chayav golos? Because he unintentionally killed someone, and his egrof alone killed him. But now we're going to say no. He was being mekayem in the midst of bezdin, and therefore it's not dumya dechativas eitz. Now in the next paragraph, which Amir Tzem will try to pick up tomorrow, b'li neder, he's going to analyze this halacha of umdana. And maybe the machlokas between Rashi and the Rivan on one hand and the Rambam and the Raivan on the other hand is going to revolve around what do we define as a result of this umda? Do we say it's Einbo Kedei Lahamis? Or do we say no, it's Yeshbo Kedei Lahamis, but it's so rachok, it's so far fetched that we don't believe it's going to happen?
What does Tosfos mean?
The Shia is officially over now,
What does Tosfos mean? Yeah, but the parish is eager.
Yeah, he says that after giving two alternative interpretations of this yeshbo of Malchus Tachas Miso Medes, he admits that Rashi's pshat is the closest to the words. Because again, if you hear the words Misa, Malchus B'makom Miso Medes, it means that he's really Chayav Misa, but we're going to give him this kind of a Chayav Misa, not the classic, Sreifa, Herig, or Chenik. We're going to give him Malchus. But nevertheless, he offers two other interpretations. He was collecting the interpretations of the Bale Atosha.
I was confused because on one hand we were talking about, and maybe it was just the examples you were giving, we were talking about the 39 lashes because of the ruling in court. And the other was the guy didn't show up and they sent out the enforcer to bring him in and he died accidentally. But when he went to bring him in was he told to give him 39 lashes to bring him in?
No, there's no specific number. He was told to beat him up until he finally agrees to come to bed.
But okay,
I don't know what the number was.
Was he given, how many? But now we're not talking lashes here. He's not, because the lashes were specific to what the Beit Din said that he's supposed to get for the crime that he committed. But this was because he didn't show up and he was sent out and he was just said, convince him to come in. And he died accidentally. The Beit Din give him guidelines as to how far he was supposed to go to get him to come in?
Yeah, they probably gave him guidelines, but what happened was, wherever there are so many possibilities here as to why the victim died, whether it was because Bezdin didn't give him the right guidelines, or maybe he went beyond the guidelines, or maybe the guy just simply, had a heart attack at that moment. But whatever it was, now we're talking about a case where it's Yeshbo Kedei Lahamis, and therefore under normal circumstances, the Shliach Bezdin should be either put to death if he was deliberate, or more likely he should be sent to Golos because he was unintentional. But we're going to say he's Potter because of the Pasuk Chativas Eitz.
Okay.
That it's not.
We didn't send the doctor out ahead of time to examine this guy before the
Shliach. That I don't know. Yeah, you'd have to. I'm not holding in that. That we'd have to check out on.
See, that's where I got confused.
I plead the fifth over here. But the main point is that we're talking about a case where it was Yeshbo Kedei Lahamis, as opposed to the 39 Malkus, that's the way the Rambam and the Ravid say it. And if it was Yeshbo Kedei Lahamis, then he should actually be put to death, or at least sent to Golis if he was unintentional. That's the case we're dealing with, unintentional. And the reason why he's parted from Golis is because it's not Dumya de Chativas Eitz. The Ram and the Raivu were very inhibited about talking about a case of a Shliach Bezdin within the framework of 39, because they were convinced that once Bezdin makes that professional assessment, then it's Eimbo Kedei Lahon.
Right.
And then there's no Maaser Tzichon, there's no need to invoke a new drasha and a yalfusa from Chativas Eitz. On the other hand, that's what Reb Chaim wants to say in defense of Rashi and the Ravan. They understood that there are two separate concepts here, and we shouldn't identify them. There's one concept of Omed, in which Bezdin has to decide how many Malkas he can take. And then there's another concept called Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis. Don't confuse the two. You can have a case where it's Yesh Bo Kedei Lahamis, but yet the Umdana had it that he would be able to give him 39 Malkas, and we don't have to worry beyond that. Well, I got news for you. We should have been worried, because this was the one in a million case where, despite the Umdana, he died. But we're assuming he died because of the, you know, because of the Makkah. There is a Maaser Tzichah here, but he's part of because of Ein Dumya the Lechativas.
Okay.
Okay then? So we'll stop here.